All right, welcome to the Basement Tapes, and this is exciting for a couple of reasons. One is, this will be the last episode of the Basement Tapes before we start featuring songs that are going to be on the Basement Tapes compilation. And the other reason this is exciting is, the entire reason why I'm doing the Basement Tapes is thank you to Steve Ruff and Mr. Matt Crosland. And Matt, we should have had you on a long time ago. Thanks for being patient, but we're glad to have you here today.
Sure, yeah, I'm glad to be on here.
Yeah, this is exciting. So I first came in contact with Down the Line. I don't know how I actually found it, but once I did, I was so excited to see something out there that was, you know, promoting the music that I really like and finding out where a lot of these people are now, you know?
Yeah.
So this is really exciting. It's definitely a labor of love. Why did you decide to put your time, energy, and resources into this project?
Well, that's a good question.
You still don't know why.
Yeah, I just blame Steve. It's all Steve's fault.
All right.
I think Steve and I were just talking one day. We used to trade a lot of Mike Knott bootlegs, and I think he had written some articles for a magazine, and they didn't get published or something like that because they were covering some of the older artists like Scatterfew and LS Underground stuff. You know, we started talking, wouldn't it be nice if there's something out there to cover all this? We started kicking around ideas. Somewhere along the line, one of us just threw out the idea of doing a magazine, and it just kind of snowballed from there. We just kind of fell into it, really.
Well, I'm very glad you did it. The magazines are wonderful. There's a couple of special issues that were amazing. It's got to be a lot of work. What kind of... you know, and you're kind of doing it because, you know, you and Steve wanted to do it. What kind of response are you getting from people who are finding it?
Well, I mean, most of we hear from seem to like it. I guess if they didn't like it, they probably just ignore us. So, you know, but people that do find it and like it, they tell us they like it. We keep begging people for, like, letters to the editor and feedback and stuff and don't get very many of those. But I think that we, I think so far, I mean, you know, some people think that we're trying to, you know, push certain views on them or stuff, or people think that we're trying to, you know, do certain things. But other than that, most people seem to like it.
Well, I can tell you in radio, which I've worked in forever, they say every person that actually calls is representative of 5,000 people who have the same idea that didn't call. I'm sure it's not the same in print. But, you know, if a few people write at their every issue, then at least you know that's representative of at least a few hundred, if not a few thousand more people. The thing that I found interesting about it is the artists that you cover and your mission statement is to cover artists mostly that, you know, were rolling around in the 80s and 90s that kind of combined art and faith. I still listen to those artists today. Those musicians today, some of them are still putting out a lot of relevant material. What seems to be maybe, I don't know, a kickback or whatever of what actually happened during that scene is a lot of people have become so... disgusted, I don't know if that's probably the maybe too strong of a word, I don't know, about music during that time period because it represented maybe an element of their belief or their practice that they don't want to be associated with anymore. And mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of people who were influenced and, you know, listened to the bands that you cover, it's not that they don't like the bands themselves, it's just it's the association of that music with possibly a bad time in their lives, spiritually, emotionally, or whatever, has caused them to distance themselves from that. Case in point, the 90s Christian recovery group on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And to see how that dynamic is working out and to see what people's belief system are, that's a hard market to go to reach. And a lot of these artists kind of got put on the back burner, if not totally disregarded, because of that association between them and bad theology, bad church experiences, or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's got to be very difficult when you're approaching some of these artists. You have no idea where they are now, what they mm-hmm. believe. How do you make that fit in with the magazine, and if somebody is a Christian and somebody does want to read the magazine, and all of a sudden now they're approached with their favorite artist who's now an atheist, maybe a very outspoken atheist, or my goodness, a gay person, you know, or something like that. How are you dealing with those situations from a Christian perspective?
Well, it's definitely a difficult question to bring up with some people, you know, because they've had so many reporters or whoever through the year trying to play kind of the Christian investigator to figure out if some artist is really a Christian or not, you know. And so they've had a lot of really hard questions, really bad questions asked them through the years, you know, trying to prove that they're Christian enough. And sometimes it's not even whether they're Christian enough. It's, you know, do you subscribe to the specific theology that I think is the correct, you know, Christian theology? So it's a hard question to ask, you know, in the first place, you know, because we're curious about those kind of things. You want to say hi, little guy?
Hi.
All right. How's it going?
Sorry, my little guy wanted to say hi.
No, quite all right.
I think who is it? Bono said that the most interesting people are those that are running towards God or running away from God. And I think that's kind of where we find the most interesting thing is why are people making the decisions that they're making, you know, when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to all these musical, you know, things that they're singing about is, you know, why are they making these decisions and these statements? You know, there's, if they don't follow my particular beliefs on something, I still find it interesting why they do that, you know? And so, you know, I didn't grow up in the church, but I have a lot of friends from a lot of different viewpoints. So I've always tried to keep it that way because, I just find it really helps me to know what I understand. How can I know that I'm not a Muslim if I've never even found out what a Muslim believes, you know? How can I know I'm not an atheist if I never found out what an atheist believes, you know? So, I mean, personally, I like to explore all the, you know, and know all the different viewpoints that are out there. So, yeah. So for me, it's just part of who I've always been, kind of. It's just kind of a thinker and someone that asks questions and someone that gets to know a diversity of people. So I think you saw a lot of people, even Paul in the Bible, doing that. You know, he didn't shy away from going and talking to people about their religious beliefs, different things. So that's kind of where I approach it from.
Well, I guess the challenge is, and you know, I've always said this industry in particular, because I mentioned, you know, people who used to listen to music that are hurt, but I've, you know, I'm a musician and I've been involved in church music at least a little bit. I know the artists are hurt too. I mean, there's really seem to be not a an importance on the care of the artist. It's just about, at least it was. And I've worked in the music business too, you know, throwing the artist out there, making them representative of something without really caring about who they are spiritually, who they are emotionally, or the questions that they have. So, you know, I always bounce back and forth when I get, you know, aggravated dealing with why aren't listeners supporting these artists when people are begging for house shows. And then I get aggravated with the artists when I don't think they're maybe doing that. But I have to always come back to the fact that we're all hurt. We're all hurt, broken people.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We have this weird dynamic of we all kind of got hurt the same way. The listeners and the artists, we kind of hurt each other maybe. And then we all just got thrown out. And everybody's trying to pick up, you know, the pieces back together. So it's a very complicated issue. So how do you maintain let me ask you this then, I guess. How do you lift up Christ, which is what we're all probably trying to do on some level, in a way that can ask some difficult questions to people, but still make sure that we're being loving, and then we're being caring, and we're making sure that this is Christ-centered, when that in some ways was the reason, people saying that they wanted to do that was the reason why a lot of us were hurt in these situations anyway. I mean, how do you keep, what is the focus beyond what we already talked about of the magazine, since we all are Christians, to try to keep Christ-centered in this dynamic?
That's a good question. I know that I frequently get that one wrong, as I often get people very mad at me on Facebook for saying certain things. I don't know. I think it's you just keep trying, you know, and you come at it always with an open heart, you know, always to learn something new, you know. And then when you make a mistake, you just learn from it and keep going on, you know. It seems like at some point people's conversion, they all get to this point where they feel like they've figured out all the answers. And if they, you know, they can't, and they get to some point in their conversion where they just can't, you know, they can't admit that maybe they don't know all the answers, you know. And so they go around telling people everything that they're supposed to do and everything they're supposed to believe. And we don't have all the answers. And even the Bible, you know, is very unclear in many places. And I think we just have to recognize that. You know, it's okay to realize that there's stuff to struggle with, you know. And even Jesus himself struggled with God's will for him in the garden. You know, it's we're all meant to struggle at times with our faith. So I think that's just it's what I do is that I just try to, you know, get up every morning and realize, well, I could be wrong today, you know. I could say something and be, you know, totally off base. And so I just stopped defending my beliefs and certain things and start listening to what God is saying, listening to what people are saying, listening to, you know, everything around me because, you know, I can't know everything. That's probably not much of an answer.
No. Sometimes there isn't an answer. So you said you didn't grow up in the church, yet you are a huge Christian music fan. Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, how did that happen? I think someone kidnapped me and brainwashed me at some point. No. I was always interested in spiritual things growing up, and my family did go to church sometimes, but they just didn't believe in forcing, you know, their kids to believe certain things. And so, you know, I started investigating a lot of different religious strains and read a lot of different things from the Quran to the, you know, teachings of Buddha and all kinds of things. And eventually became a Christian senior year in high school through an organization called Young Life. So when that happened, I think I was big into music at the time, mostly kind of heavy metal, thrash metal, punk rock, those kind of things. And so my friends just started throwing all these Christian music tapes at me. You know, I heard Stryper, actually went to a Stryper concert before I was a Christian in 1987. They were the only heavy metal act to come through town, so every heavy metal fan went and saw them, you know. It was actually a good show. You know, my friend got hit in the head by a Bible they were throwing out in the audience. It's awesome. But, and so that was really how it just happened. I started going to church. People were like, oh, you like music? You like these guys. You know, you like Judas Priest? Here's Saint. You know, you like Rat? Here's White Cross. You know, but at the time I was kind of, my taste had kind of been changing and I kind of wanted something a little bit more of substance. And so they would want something a little bit more alternative, something a little bit more than just, hey, let's rock for the rock, you know, or whatever. And so they would throw things like Scattered Few or something at me like that, you know. And so that's really just basically how I got into it. Most of it I just didn't like what they threw at me until I actually discovered Michael Knott. So he was kind of the first, Christian musician I was a fan of. I just randomly bought this compilation that was on sale. It was like a compilation of all these blonde vinyl artists. And I said, that looks kind of freaky. I want that. So grabbed that and bought it and listened to it. And Wino the Red is Staying came, you know, blaring through my speakers. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So I just started going out and buying all of his stuff. So and eventually that, you know, that became an addiction. And then I got addicted to Daniel Ray Mills and 77s and Adam Again and, you know, all those bands that fell in place. That's kind of used to how it happened, I guess.
Well, besides down the line, you run an extremely extensive Michael Knott website. What's the website address?
Knottheads.
And that's more extensive. I don't know how you uncovered a lot of that information, but that's amazing as well. So obviously, your love for Michael Knott has not diminished through the years.
Yeah. He's got so much diverse music out there that it's kind of it's kind of almost something for everyone, unless I guess you're into rap or something. I mean, I don't think you've ever done a rap album, I don't think.
No, but there's a rap song on the Browbeats.
Oh, there is. That's right. Yeah. So that's true.
There you go. He's done it all.
Yes.
So what do you think that this weird thing that's happening now between the artist and, you know, I love Michael Knott. He's a wonderful painter. He's a wonderful musician. But you see when, you know, Josh puts out on Facebook, Josh Laurie is the bass player for LSU and the Lifesavers.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Michael Knott wants to do some house shows, or you see someone else who's amazing, like Bill Maloney, really struggling to make things happen. And then you look at the audience, what do you think, why do you think that there isn't more support for these artists right now when they're still putting out Bill Maloney? I mean, my goodness, he's put out, you know, a million albums in the last 6 months, and they're all relevant. They're all amazing. Mm-hmm. They're all really good. Super excited about this Daniel Amos album, the Terry Taylor comic book he did with Doug Tenney. It's great stuff. This is relevant stuff that still means things to me, and it means things to me when not a lot of older people, older than me anyway, are putting out music that speaks to me. Why do you think people are not? Why do you think there's an abandonment of those artists?
That's a good question. I mean, if we could figure that one out, it could probably change a lot of things. I think a lot of people are just getting, they're getting older and getting a lot more responsibilities, whether it's kids or family or jobs or 3-4 jobs or the economy, you know. I think that's taking a lot of people's time. And that's probably one factor. I think another factor, like you say, you know, house concert, like I don't really even know exactly what that means myself personally. I mean, I look at my house and, we just moved into a new place, and it's just kind of like, I don't know where we would fit 10 people, you know, much less, you know, a band and, a guy with a guitar even, you know. So I don't even know, basically people just don't even know how to support, you know. Personally, what does it take to put on a house concert? You know, I wouldn't even know myself. So maybe they're...
Well, I'll tell
maybe
you.
Maybe something down the line can do is maybe put some kind of, I don't know, tutorial, or people ask questions of how to do a house concert. It might help people. I don't know.
Well, I tried that, and nobody answered the question. So how about...
Well, then, nope.
Hey, there you go. There's some frustration for you. In fact, yeah. and this is kind of, you know, going back to the frustration I have, and I understand with... The basement tapes, it's my job to dig underneath the rocks and to find people who, if they thought they were that good, then they probably would have pushed it a little bit further. So there's this, you know, thing that I have to deal with on, man, I promise you, this music, Jim Wheat and how this stuff is amazing. You know, everybody that I've had on the show, I listen to a lot because it means something.
I've got all this stuff. It's really good.
Yeah, it means something to me. So that's one side of it. But then the other side is when you do try, and I know you have the same issue, because before, an issue comes out, you know, there's some emails that are sent around. Hey, does anybody have anything for that?
Yeah.
It's not only, once again, going back to what we talked about before, the listeners, it's also the artists sometimes that aren't willing to push it a little bit further and say, wait, these guys are working hard. They're giving us free publicity. They're not willing to take advantage of it either. So once again, it could be because there's hurt everywhere, and I'm not picking on anybody. It could be laziness on some level. I'm not exactly sure what the problem is, but it does bother me when I bring in personally, using my own money, the 77s, and I know that there's 77s fans in New Orleans, and they don't even have to pay a cover. All they have to do is show up, and they don't. Or when Bill Maloney's here and there's 20, 15 people, you know, at a house show, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here when these artists were a lifeline for us growing up. When you said, you know, a little while ago, you were looking for something and you found it. I was looking for something and found it. Thanks to these artists making the sacrifices, and there's definitely a disconnect that's going on now. So I'm hoping down the line just keeps pushing along and keeps trying to, you know, fix things and put that bridge back to where it needs to be. So I definitely applaud you, because I know how frustrating it is sometimes, just for me on a very small level, and you're putting out a magazine and trying to hunt people down. So I definitely appreciate what you're doing.
Well, you know, Steve does a lot of the hunting down. He's kind of the main interviewer, but yeah, I've heard some of his frustrations too along those lines. I think there's some interviews out there that are like 2 years in the making still, or still trying to get Well, yeah. Answers questions from years and years ago.
So. Yeah, it's all irrelevant at this point now. Yeah. So, you know, I applaud you and Steve and Josh and everybody who's trying to do something. And I will say this, the change that is actually happening with the basement tapes now is that this will be the last podcast that we do, like I said, before we start, featuring on the songs that are going to be on this compilation. Michael Knott actually is doing the artwork for this compilation, and I'm not sure where we're going to go from that point forward. So I do thank you for the opportunity and letting me hitch my wagon to this and really get to let other people see with the podcast and then with the compilation some of these artists like Jim Wita and Kevin Olsen and Ant Howe and the Dorfsmiths and, you know, Eddie Perino and all these guys that have really made an impact on me. So I really appreciate all the work, all the effort that you've done in allowing me to shine a light on these people.
Yeah, and I mean, you're kind of exactly what we, you know, we're hoping for. The magazines, people would come to us with ideas and say, hey, I'd like to do this, and we'd be like, sure, you know, do it. So yeah, the podcast was exactly what we were hoping to get, you know, from our fans and readers, is people just coming with those ideas, you know. That's, I think it's a little hard, though, for some people just because they're used to magazines coming to them and telling them, you know, this is what we want. And people come to us and say, is this something you want us to put in the magazine? And we're like, well, whatever you want, you know, we kind of tell people, if you want to interview someone, go find them. If you want to see a band featured in the magazine, then, you know, go find them. Or if you want to get topic covered, then write an article about it. People just kind of look at us kind of weird, like, I don't quite get that. And so, you know, but the podcast was definitely what we were looking for. If people, you know, come up and say, hey, I've got this idea, can I do it? And we're like, sure, you know, that's awesome. So we really appreciate you doing this.
Oh no, this has been a pleasure. I wish more people will get involved. We'll keep pushing it until people do. Well, thank you so much for taking time out. And like I said, we should have had you on a long time ago, but it's kind of great to have you on as the last official podcast before we start focusing on these songs that people are sending in for the compilation. So thanks a lot. And can you give us a hint about who's going to be on the cover of the next issue or not? You don't have to say if you don't want to.
Yeah, well, I could if I knew. I think I need to ask Steve still to see who he's working on. I know that he's got, he talked to the former lead singer of Black and White World from the Blonde Vinyl Artist.
Right. He was the singer for Undercover, too, right?
Yeah, he was a singer for Undercover. He's had a lot of other bands through the years. Rob Gallup,
yes.
If I'm saying that right.
Yes.
And I think Bill Maloney makes it in about every issue, so he'll probably be there some way, too. And then, trying to think. There's kind of been a few other people. I know that, like I said, there's been some people working on some other articles for a while that may or may not be in there, so hopefully we'll see those coming out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and keep on keeping on. God bless, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, too, man.